How's that? Then we would see that they not only were forgetful, but they did not follow Christ. This is one of the things I forgot to mention this morning, is that, see, Christ was trying to teach them, in verse 15, he was trying to teach them a parable about the leaven. Well, they didn't follow that, did they? Instead, they started thinking, well, he's talking about bread, forgetting the bread. And then he goes on to ask them those nine questions in really what would be a rebuke or a correction for them. So they didn't follow in his lessons, but they give us an example of man's failure. Really, both these types give us an example of man's failure. The fact that the Pharisees failed to have faith, the disciples failed in following Christ and what he was trying to teach. Well, then we moved on to the end of the chapter, verse 34, and we saw there any time that we're going to follow Christ, that there was some instruction for us, that we would, if we would come after Christ, we would deny ourselves, we would take up his cross and follow him. Well, in this, we let the other verses describe for us. I'm going to step away from that other mic because I think it's causing some interruption. But, and plus you guys are sitting further back today. So we're further away from each other. But if we look at verse 34, you see there that we let the other verses explain what it meant. And maybe I just give you a simple definition and recapping things about denying self. We understood what that meant. But following or to take up our cross would mean that I have no plans of my own. Well, if you're following someone, you can't have any plans of your own, can you? You've got no plans of your own. You've got plans of what Christ would have you to do. I know I've heard some Christians that have maybe in writing a devotion or given testimony, they would try to get in the habit of asking every morning, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's taking up your cross, isn't it? No plans of your own, but following Christ. Well, that brings us up to chapter 9. And we'll begin reading there as we want to read a few of these passages of Scripture to see exactly chapter 9 and verse 19. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And verse 22 says, And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire. This is the demon had cast this young man into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, this is the Father speaking to Christ. He says, But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us, both the Father and the Son, and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou can believe, or we might say have faith, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And then we would skip over to chapter 10. We're going to have an opportunity to look at this tonight. Chapter 10 and verse 17, where we read, And when he was gone out, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he, the man, was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Verse 27 of chapter 10. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, in the world to come, eternal life. And then we ended our reading with the verse 52 in chapter 10 that said, And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Well, we have those couple of different accounts as we're following Jesus right through these different chapters, aren't we? In chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, we can see this common thread or weave. And you know, we made the statement this morning that really faith, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the knowledge of our Savior, and to want to follow Him, that doesn't just happen one time, does it? I mean, in the sense that we do come to know Him as Savior one time, but we follow Him the rest of our life. And there's an element in faith, an element of faith all along the way, isn't there? There's that element of faith, of stirring up our faith, building up our faith, rooted and grounded in faith. You see, and so here the Lord Jesus is trying to stir up the faith of the disciples. You know, if we would look back even at earlier on in Mark chapter 4, the disciples were in the boat again. And remember when the storm came up? What was the response after the Lord Jesus had calmed the storm? One of the responses was, O ye of little faith. And here, you know, in chapter 8, we have these guys, the disciples are out there, they're following Jesus, they've left all and they're following Him. And they come up with this father who's concerned for his son. And his son has this demon that has possessed him since his youth, since he was a child. And the demon would sometimes throw him into the fire, sometimes throw him into the water, all the time trying to destroy him. The father comes to the disciples, and he sees the disciples working, and the disciples, can they cast the demon out? No. No, they can't cast him out, and they're wondering, why can't we cast him out? Well, we've got to take him to Jesus. And this man we picked up in our reading tonight in chapter 9, and we see Christ's response. He would later tell him that this kind cannot come forth but by prayer and fasting. And he was showing them that here we are in a faithless generation. And you know, once again, we need to ask ourselves the question, hey, you say you're a believer, well, how's your faith? You know, do I really have faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? If you don't have faith in Christ, you will not follow Him. You see? You won't follow Him. You can't follow something you don't have faith in. So we've got to say, do I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I know that He is the one I should be following? Do I know Him for sure as my Savior? If I know Him as my Savior, then I've been bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. And Corinthians would tell us that we should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto Him which died for us. You see, he's always leading, and we should always be following. And look down in verse 22. And oftentimes, we read this about, and we made reference to the fact, but I want you to notice what the Father says to Jesus. Notice what the Father says, because Jesus is going to put the same words back to the Father. He comes to Him and says, But if thou canst do anything... And you know, we just ask ourselves the question, do we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And look at this guy, look at this father. Is he a believer? We don't know. But he knows he's come to the right spot. And he says, Lord Jesus, if you could do anything, If you could do anything, please help us. Could he help them? Yeah. But sometimes, do we do that? Do we ask? Do we come in desperation and say, Lord, please help? You're my last resort. If anybody can help me, maybe, Lord, you can. If you could just do... He can do anything. He can do anything. So, notice, the man says, but if thou canst do anything... And what in verse 23, what does Jesus say back to him? If thou canst believe. You see, this man came to him with an if. Lord, if you can do anything, please help us. And the Lord Jesus comes back to him and says, if thou can believe. If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so here, you know what, when we ask ourselves the question, how's our faith? I mean, is my faith strong in the Lord Jesus Christ to where I want to follow Him? I've got total 100% confidence in the path that He's taken me. I've got total 100% confidence in Him as my leader, that I know He's going to carry me the whole way home. If we're honest with ourselves, perhaps we would relate to this man. And straightway the Father cried out and said with tears, you see how sincere this man is? He said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And that's a familiar passage to us. And so we read that sometimes, but do you see it connecting it all with these other verses that we've read? Do you see the fact that here, this guy, he wants to be a follower. He wants to come to Christ and he wants to have faith. And he just cries out with sincerity and he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And how often do we find ourselves in our Christian walk and we find ourselves and we say, here I was, I had so much confidence in this doctor for my health problem. Lord, redirect me. I should have been focused on you. Lord, help me. Help my faith to be focused in the right place. I want to believe in you. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, the doctors say that there's no hope. With man, it is impossible. Not with God. All things are possible. I learned today, John, that your oldest son separated, right, from his wife. All right, well, have a problem. With man, it's impossible. But with God, it's possible. That we should be praying and praying for that situation, looking to the Lord Jesus in faith, following what we know we need to do. And I bet you we'd go around the room and you all have been faced with impossible situations, impossible tasks, an unsaved loved one, an unsaved spouse, a child that's away from the Lord. Impossible, it seems. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And you know, if we would be following Jesus and we would deny ourselves and we would take up our cross and say, Lord, I don't have any plans of my own. I'm going to do what you want to do and I'm going to follow after you. You see how that builds up our faith? Do you see how that keeps us on the right path? That keeps our perspective correct? When we think about this man, we see that he really provides for us a good example, doesn't he? He comes to the right place. He admits his need. And he asks the Lord to help him with his need. We come next to the rich young ruler. And he's going to be like those Pharisees that we saw in chapter 8. He's going to give us a poor example. That is a poor example in faith and following. And so we want to learn from the poor examples as well because we don't want to repeat the same mistake. And so we see in verse 17, now I'm over in chapter 10. And in chapter 10 we see that this rich young ruler comes to him He comes running and he says, "Good master." You see, he even recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ as a good master. He wants to inherit eternal life. We know this man's rich, and so I look at verse 21. It says, notice the compassion that Christ uses coming to this guy. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Yeah, we've already read what happens, right? This guy decides not to follow Jesus. And we know in Scripture that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all would believe, that all would receive salvation. He loved the whole world, right? He sent His Son to die on the cross because the God the Father loved the whole world. And Jesus here, looking at this man, no doubt knowing the dilemma that's going through his head, wanting to follow Jesus. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And because he loved him, he gives him the truth, doesn't he? He doesn't water it down. You see? He doesn't say, "Well, because I love you, I'm going to make it easier on you." He gives him the truth. And not that the thing... He just says, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatever thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." You know what? We can relate and see a same pattern in this as we did in chapter 8 and verse 34. Remember we broke that down where Jesus would say to his disciples to deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow me? Well, we see the same thing here, don't we? That really, go thy way and sell all thy have. That's denying yourself, isn't it? And then, well, clearly, take up the cross. That's taking up the cross. That's not a hard connection to make, is it? And then to follow me, same thing there again. Kim and I were talking on the way over here, and we said we could, if for those of you that are alliteration buffs, that you could have denial, death, taking up your cross, and direction, following him. Denying self, dying to self, and following Christ. Our direction is from him. And so, we would see this man in verse 22. Here, did he have faith? No. Did he ask the Lord, "Lord, I believe what you're saying. Help thou my unbelief." No. Rather, we see an emotion of sadness. This man went away sad, saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. That man will be grieved for all of eternity if he never made a decision to turn back around, to repent, to convert, to go back around. But rather, all we know of in Scripture is that this rich young ruler will spend eternity a sad man, a grieved man. And he went away and probably enjoyed those possessions. Probably not. Probably didn't even enjoy the possessions, knowing that he had been faced with the Master, faced with the good Master, and faced with a Master that loved him. And he chose his stuff over the spiritual truth of denying self and taking up his cross and following him. You know what? That we see that same... This guy makes the same mistake that the disciples made in chapter 8. What did we say? The disciples, whenever Jesus was trying to tell them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, the evil that would be out there, they got distracted about the material. They missed the spiritual altogether. The rich young ruler gets distracted about the material, misses out on the spiritual. And you see, these things relate so well together because look down at verse 27. And we see the reminder again as we see Peter. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. You see, the example of Peter, and really of all the disciples, they had left all and followed Christ. They were good at here the disciples are a good example for us, that they have denied self. I mean, they gave up their profession, you know? I mean, here, it would tell, if we read the accounts of when the disciples were being called, it says that they left their nets. That was their livelihood, right? And it says that Matthew, the tax collector, he left his table, left behind everything there, and followed Christ. And so here, we would continue reading. It said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left a house or brethren or sisters or father or mothers or children or land for my sake and the gospel's." You see, we read that in chapter 8 too, that he would say that we should follow him for Christ's sake and the gospel's sake. Why do you think that's put in there? Why do you think that the gospel's sake is put in there? Well, I'd maybe offer this suggestion to you. You know, as we're thinking about following the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're thinking about having true, undoubted faith in Him, we would follow Him for His sake. Because He loved us and because He's leading us, we follow Him. But He also says for the gospel's sake. And so we see this rich young ruler, that he was not willing to depart with his possessions. And so here we see two examples already of people getting distracted with the material and missing the spiritual altogether. And sometimes we would fall into that same trap. Beware of the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of the evil of the sin in the world. Beware of that sin that so easily besets us, that gets us off track. For my sake and the gospel's sake. And here's one of those things that we'd ask ourselves an examining question. What am I doing for the gospel's sake? If I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who came and lived a clean, spotless life, provided to be the Lamb of God, to die a substitutionary death in my place, and who died, who was buried, and who was raised again, who was accepted of the Father, and who is now seated on the right hand, ever making intercession for us, and is preparing a place for us, that if He goes, that He wants us to be with Him, and He's going to prepare a place for us, and He's coming again to take us home with Him. We would follow Him for His sake and the gospel's sake. And so we ask ourselves the question, what am I doing for the gospel's sake? We went to a restaurant just a few weeks ago. And mind you, I'm not usually this quick on my feet, okay? But I'll just give you a little example. I've been challenged in my own life about this. As just been studying through this and challenged from others about the gospel's sake. And really, what a mind shift, and I've tried to make this mind shift of my own. I believe I've become complacent in the gospel, and I want to have a gospel offensive. Not that I want to be offensive with the gospel, but you know what I'm saying? We want to be defensive drivers. They teach you that in driving school. Be a defensive driver. Well, we don't want to be a defensive gospeler. You see, we don't want to only present the gospel when our back's up against the wall and we say, you know, okay. No, we want to be out there proactive. How's that word? You know, you can't get that confused with offensive. But be proactive about the gospel. Gaining the gospel initiative, the gospel offensive. And so it's a mindset. Because you know what? We're coming in contact every day with lost people. There's lost people around you in your workplace. There's lost people in your family. And we share the gospel once and we... What does it say about the gospel? Some will sow. And we know the teaching of the parables about the type of ground. And some of that ground has to continually be worked up. Some of it's hard ground. It's got to be gone over and over and over again. Some will sow. And some will water. You see? That seed has to be watered. And it's just not watered one time. You don't water a plant one time or water a seed one time and then go away and sprout. No, you water it over and over. And then some would reap or some would gain the harvest. And see, there's those places all along the way that's the work of the gospel. It's just not taking in the harvest. You got to sow the seed before you ever have the harvest. And for the gospel's sake. What am I doing for the gospel's sake? And so, I just tell you this a little story as an encouragement to you. We were in the restaurant and this guy rang up our bill. And it was supposed to be $31.46 was the total. And he was ringing up my credit card, you know. And whenever they swipe the card and they got to punch in the little numbers what the total is? Well, this guy, he punched in 316 and left out the 4. And so when he rang up the bill and he looked at it and said, "Oh man, I rang it up for 316 and I meant to ring it up, you know, for the full amount. Would you mind paying this bill and I'll just bill you for the difference instead of voiding out that bill?" And I said, "Oh no, that's no problem at all." And it just so happened that I had already determined that I wanted to give this guy a track. And what you know, I had a track in my pocket that was John 3:16. And so whenever he said, I said, "I'll be happy to pay that bill for 3:16. And isn't that interesting that that rang up that way? Because I just happened to have in my pocket something else that says 3:16. And gave him that track, and he stepped back, you know, and he says, "Wow, hey, I need to pay attention to this." And so that was just an example of saying, being on being proactive about the gospel. And so that gave us an opportunity to meet that man and to talk to him. He's actually from Chapel Hill. Got smart and moved out. He's from Chapel Hill here. The guy's lost. He's drifting. He's got a job there at the restaurant. He needs the truth. He's desperate for the truth. I went in just this past Monday to talk to him again, hoping to catch him there, and he was off. But I talked to one of the owners. I said, "Hey, is Mark here today?" He says, "No." And he says, he's off today. And I was talking with the owner, and I asked him, I said, how are things going for you spiritually? And he got a big grin on his face. This guy is an Italian. This is an Italian restaurant, Francisco's Pizza. I would recommend it if you're ever in the Winston-Salem area. But anyway, this guy, he got a big smile on his face, and he goes, Oh, yeah, things are good. Things are good." And I said, "Oh, yeah, how so?" And he goes, "Well, I'm in America now. I'm working. I'm making a profit. I'm doing a good thing. And things are going great for me spiritually." He didn't have a clue, you know? I mean, but look, that's the lost condition of the world that we're in. And we would say, "What am I doing for the gospel's sake?" And so you know what? As we study this, if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to reorder my life. I'm not going to have any plans of my own. I'm going to have faith in Him. You see? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because people are dying and going to hell. And we want to be able to share the gospel with a person that would say, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." But we're too busy. We're distracted by the material. And we've missed the boat on the spiritual. Why are we here? What is more important than sharing to a lost person how he can spend eternity with Christ? If I say I'm following Jesus and not doing anything for the gospel's sake, I need to re-examine what's going on. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Notice that in that first verse we read everything was singular. And now as we read in the second verse, everything is plural. that he would receive houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, plural, children, plural, lands, plural. But then it tells us with persecutions. Taking up our cross is not easy. Taking up our cross is saying that, Lord, I have gained an eternal perspective on my life. Lord, I have gained an eternal perspective, and I realize that the things that I'm working for in this life are perishing. Peter would tell us that everything is going to burn up and melt away, and that there is a spiritual aspect to this life, and that I should be working to store up treasures in heaven. Go thy way, sell all that thou hast, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. He shall receive a hundredfold in this world and in the world to come. You know, when the rich young ruler came to Christ and he said, hey, good master, he had that part right, didn't he? Do you think that part of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is having faith that he is a good master? And these things sound hard, and it sounds like, boy, if I follow Christ, I've got to give up everything. That's part of the point, isn't it? But that's exactly what he did. He left splendor's glory. Are you willing to follow him? He gave up everything. Are you willing to follow him in that? Well, look at verse 52. I'll tell you what, we're going to read a few more verses to give you. To give you the context of that, this guy gives us another good example. 47. Look at verse 47. You see, this is blind Bartimaeus. And he comes up in verse 47, and when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth walking by, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him, saying that he should hold his peace. But he cried out more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, here we have an example of another person who realizes who Christ is. And he's calling out for mercy. We want to have faith, and we want to follow. And this man realizes who Christ is. He realizes, I believe, that he realizes with man, he's probably been to doctors, that things were impossible. But with God, things are possible. He's just yelling out, hey, son of David, even the title that he gives him shows that he believes on who he is, that he's descended from the line of David, the line of Judah, to be the Messiah. And so here, this man calls out, says, have mercy on me. And you know, some of you guys have been praying for our family. And I just want to share this with you in a sense of like that the Lord allows some health trials in my own life. And I know you've been praying for us on Wednesday nights. And I just would call it an episode, all right, a health episode. And we didn't know initially what exactly was going on. But don't want to get caught up in a bunch of details of that. But you know what? Here, perhaps you can relate to this in own personal trials. As I was reading through the Scripture, and this was the portion that the Lord had given me during that time, and I felt like that blind Bartimaeus. I'd come to the right place. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. The doctors, they said, well, it could be this, and they give me a test, and they rule that out, you know. Well, it's got to be this, you know, and they give me a test, and they rule that out. And I knew I was sick. I knew something wasn't right. And there were other indicators that, you know, showing things out of line. And just thinking about, you know, I'm ready. You know, I know, Lord, if this is your will for me, I'm ready to follow you in that. But being in that situation, coming up to that whole situation, once again, reminded of the frailty of man. David in the Psalms would say, would call out to God and say, help me to know how frail I am. Help me to know my end. And so here that we're reminded of the frailty that we have. We all face health concerns and that kind of thing. But doesn't it help us reorder our perspective? And that's the reason I bring this up tonight. And the fact that even going through that health trial, and whatever trial it is, it can reorder your perspective. And we need to reorder our perspective regarding faith and following. We need to reorder our perspective in the fact that we're following Christ for Christ's sake and the gospel's sake. And ask ourselves the question, what are we doing for the gospel's sake? Am I truly following Him? And do I have faith in Him? And so here we see Bartimaeus as he comes and he gives us this good example of a man who's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ with faith. And Jesus stood before him in verse 39 or 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment. What is he doing? Is he denying himself? He cast away his garment. Just like Peter, leaving those nets behind. He cast away his garment. And he rose, and he came to Jesus. And in verse 51 it says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, What wilt thou have me that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And notice the element in the answer to his prayer. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, this man had faith, didn't he? And notice, not only that, we got to keep on because we're talking about faith and following, right? And so here this man had faith. The faith had made him whole, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, I want to make this other connection for you. Whenever the rich young ruler came to him and did not have faith, Jesus told him, that one thing thou lackest, go thy way. That man's way was the way of the world. He went his own way and chose not the way of Christ. And what does he tell blind Bartimaeus in verse 52? Go thy way. But Bartimaeus' way was the same as Christ. You see that? You see, the rich young ruler came and he said, Go thy way. And the man went on his way and he hoarded his possessions. And he went away from Christ. But this blind Bartimaeus, he went with Jesus. He followed Jesus in the way. And that's the only way for the believer. You know, the only way for the believer is that thy way becomes his way. And if you're a true follower of him, then you'll be following Jesus in the way. Go back to verse 32 and we'll close with this. And the Holy Spirit, as he inspired the writing of his words, you know, this word is so great. As we delve into it and we study it, and we see, and he's great to give us these examples. It's so great that the Lord gives us these examples. And here, he would even give us a little picture that we close on. And in verse 32, And they were in the way, going up to Jerusalem. This is Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus went before them. We'll just stop right there for a moment. You see, the disciples and Jesus were in the way, going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. We've been talking about faith and following, haven't we? Having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and following Him as the one who is our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. And so here, if we're following Him, who's in front? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so I want to ask you this. I want you to ask yourself this question. When you look up, what do you see? You should see who you're following. If you look up and you see that world, you're not following Him. If you look up and you see something other than Christ, He's not in front of you. Christ went before Him. Christ went before them. And they were amazed. You see, we're going to see two reactions from the disciples. One is that they were amazed. And they followed. The second is they were afraid. And we saw that as we read through these accounts, didn't we? Some people were amazed. Others were afraid. The disciples, they got to see miracles. They were amazed. This father of this demonic son, he was afraid. Lord, help thou my unbelief. But our instruction is clear, isn't it? And the picture is this. In our own Christian walk, knowing for sure that we've come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And you know, we might even ask ourselves that question. If I'm not willing to deny self, if I'm not willing to die daily, if I'm not willing to redirect my steps and follow Him, did I ever know Him truly as Savior? That's the most important thing. Know for sure that you know Christ as your Savior. And then we would say, yes, I know Christ is my Savior and I want to follow Him. And we have to say, okay, am I getting distracted by the spiritual or distracted by the material? I want to make sure that I'm on the right track. The only way to do that is to have that picture in your mind, that mental image in your mind, as you see yourself going in your Christian walk, Christ goes before you and you're following. And you're probably at one of those two stages. You're either being amazed or you're being afraid. Okay? And you need to stay in those two places because in between you're complacent. All right? You're lukewarm. Get in the Word. Be living for Christ's sake in the Gospels and you'll be amazed or afraid. And when you're amazed, praise Him. And when you're afraid, draw closer to Him. Let's pray. Father, we once again give you thanks for your Word. And Father, as we pray this evening, before we started, just to soften our hearts. As we look at this Scripture, and Father, we know you're not a hard master. We know your burden is light. We know that you're a good master. Father, we want to follow you in your way. We want to, as you go before us, we want to be right there, right in step. So, Father, I pray that you just help us examine right now, even this evening, just help us examine our lives. Help us, Father, as even as we study these Scriptures, perhaps there's things that come to mind in our life that we know, well, just need to be reoriented. We need to reorder some things. We perhaps need to take some things out of our life. Father, we need to be aware of the Gospel. What it cost your Son. Father, stir us up. We know that you will give us the right steps to take. We know, we have faith in you that all will be well as we follow you. So we pray these things now as we commit this evening to you and ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.